Hello and welcome to another Board Gamer episode. This is our second ever episode. It's nice to see that everyone is prepared.
Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be a bit of an, I didn't want to say, but a bit Oscar style in that we're going to pick maybe not all the games that were released last year, but the games that are important to us at least, in that we're all going to take turns, say what our favourite game is, our worst game, game that we play the most, and we'll go through each category like that. No one knows what each other's got in these. If we've got any crossovers, don't say. We'll leave it till then. There's some games that I've got a feeling I already know what games are going to be because we play a lot of games together. So I can. Jake is not the one to keep his emotions to himself.
I'll tell you during the teach if I don't like that game.
Cool. So we'll start off with the most played game of the year. Now, hopefully, what we talked about a bit last week with our website, hopefully this will help bridge that gap a little bit as well. But I hope you've all been kind of taking note of what you've been playing. So we'll start with you, Tim. What's your most played of the year?
I couldn't actually work out which one it was, but I think I bought Moonrakers. I bought that and it was funny. I think they did a really heavy advertising campaign. So a few people I know that I play games with locally here, they'd seen the same ad. So they'd already been invested in it. So we played one night. It was one of those funny games where it was good. I enjoyed it. But it was a bit like I didn't really know what I was doing because it was the first game. There's quite a few different like things you can buy and alter your ship. Then I was asked to play again. And then I think my friend told another friend about it and he wanted to play. So we ended up playing it a third time. This year, I was thinking about it. I was getting confused with 2022, but this year I've actually played a lot of different games. I've made it a goal to try different games.
No, that's good.
But that was probably the most played game.
Nice. What would you say the biggest appeal for Moonrakers is? I've never played it. So
there's a game called Munchkin that I'm sure most of the audience will know about. That was one of the first games I ever bought 10 years ago. It has that same feeling of negotiation going on missions, so you can partner up with people in the team to help you, but equally they can stab you in the back. So they can say they're going to help you and then they don't and screw you over. Quite like that. That was quite good. It was bringing that to a space theme, which is one of my favourite themes.
Yeah.
Huge Star Wars fan, so space is always a big thing for me. So that was quite good. The other thing was, I actually really think the studio behind them, the quality of production, the design, I don't know if it's the base game actually, but I think the game that I bought had metal coins.
Oh, that's
like,
really
it's got silver.
Yeah, fire, I mean, the design's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really, really cool. It's got this 8-bit sort of design on the card. That kind of straight away appealed to me. But yeah, I like the social side of it. That was the thing. I think I play a lot of Euro games, solitaire type.
Yeah.
You play your own game. And I thought, actually, sometimes I do like a bit of a social game every now and then and getting everyone involved. So that appealed to me as well.
Nice. That's cool. Jake, over to you.
Yeah, funnily enough, I mean, I would have to say the probably most played game of 2023 was Unmatched.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. The whole collection or just one single?
No, a lot of variety of it.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
I just went through a little bit of an Unmatched flash in the pan in a way. Maybe that's not a kind thing to say. Like, yeah, I tried it for the first time last year. I was like, this game is so cool, man. This game is sick. So I remember playing a few, and then I went around Luke's for like a games day, and we got there. We looked through all of his shelf, and I was like, "You know what I want to play? I want to play Unmatched." So and he had never played it, so I was like, "Let's go to the shop." So we just didn't play anything off his shelf. We went to the shop and bought some copies of Unmatched, and we just played it. And then we got together another time and played it, and got together with you a thing and played it. Went to someone else's and played it. It just became really fun, like just mixing up the characters and. It was just a light game and it was super fun and easy. I even introduced it to quite a few people who were new to board gaming.
Yeah.
And they just loved it. And I was like, this is such an easy game to introduce to people. So I would probably say my most played game probably wasn't the best game, but my most played game would probably be Unmatched.
What would be the set that you'd recommend to people if they were to pick this up?
The thing is, it's a very IP-dependent game, and that's kind of what it appeals at. It appeals at that it all works, but you can buy whatever one you like. And it's difficult depending on value. I got Cobble and Fog as my first set, and I really like it. But there are, like, I love the Jurassic Park ones as well.
Yeah.
They're super cool, but I like Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
So those are kind of fun. I'd say the best set you can buy is more than one. Because Unmatched is, sure, it works. It works in one set, but it becomes silly but fun when you do what the game is advertising you to do, which is to mix the game.
Yeah.
That's what its point is. Like, the point is, who would win in a fight between Bigfoot and Little Red Riding Hood?
Yeah.
But, you know, I would say, if I'm going to play anyone, Little Red Riding Hood is my best character.
Okay.
I mean, I remember we played that wild game, man. This is what Unmatched does, right? Like, so we were playing this game, and we were playing a 2v2. And who was you playing?
I was Winter Soldier.
It was Winter Soldier. But this is the thing, the concept, man. It was Winter Soldier and Little Red Riding Hood versus Daredevil and Electro.
Spider-Man or something.
And I was like, and all it was is Winter Soldier just kept running off and Little Red Riding Hood was just taking all the beating.
Like,
but
the
also,
tank of the group.
It was the tank. I was just taking down all of the health of the other two. And they both got down to like just one hit point left. I'd almost died as Little Red Riding Hood. Just the concept of Little Red Riding Hood whooping Daredevil and Spider-Man. And like, oh no, it was Black Panther, I think.
Oh, that was it.
And then it was just Little Red Riding Hood doing it. And at the end, I ran off and you just showed up and did like the last hit on them both. And I was like, this is just hilarious.
Do you know the best bit about that? I didn't actually attack them. No. I walked in and I had this card that said, if they do damage to me, they take a damage back. It was something to do
just
with
one damage or something.
Yeah, just one damage. And they were both on literally one damage. And they thought, oh, all right, we'll team up and win the soldier. They both hit me. I played this card and just killed him. So I didn't actually do anything. They just killed themselves. It was like brilliant.
I think the funniest thing was all of you were like these hardcore like Marvel characters, Black Panther, Winter Soldier, Daredevil, DC. And it's Little Red Riding Hood who just whoops them all. And I was like, that's what I find funny about Unmatched. But again, Unmatched is also very dependent on the people you're playing with. It was funny. But if you're trying to play it as like a serious board game, it's quite boring.
Yeah.
So, the
only thing that scares me with Unmatched, I played it at yours. I remember, I think I played with Invisible Man.
Mm.
And it was enjoyable. I liked it. But it scares me the fact that you need to spend money.
Especially if you get that Bruce Lee one, isn't it?
Oh, mate.
It's like 100, 200 quid
really?
just for Bruce Lee.
He's out of print, though, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So.
Crazy.
Yeah.
I think one thing I'd say about that game, I really enjoyed it. I think Sam, one of our friends, introduced it to me, and he had Robin Hood and Bigfoot, and I loved it. I went to the show and bought Jurassic Park. I really enjoy it. I think it's quite a good game. I don't get it to the table enough, I don't think. But I thoroughly enjoyed it when we did the 2v2. I think that opened the game up for me, and it just made it a lot more fun having someone to do it with and versus two other people. I thought
maybe
that was
that's why I need to try it, because we've only done the 1v1.
It's funny if you do it with the silliness, you know, the silly aspect. Mm. Like there's a video on our social media somewhere, and like when I did it 1v1 with Luke, and I played Squirrel Girl. You know, we put on squirrel noises in the background off YouTube and it made it funny. But like, if you don't do that sort of stuff when you're playing Unmatched, maybe you're going to lose some of the silliness of it.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't say it's for the hardcore gamer.
No, but it is if you want to like a stupid, silly like laugh as a gamer. Yeah,
cool. So I'll go into my one. I've got a bit of a cheat answer here because I've got two. I do not know how many I've played because I haven't like kept track or anything. But I'm going to go for physical and online because my online is Seven Wonders Duel.
Oh, yeah.
I just play that all the time whenever I'm bored because it's so easy to knock out in like 20 minutes.
I've actually never played Duel.
You've never played Duel?
I've just played Seven Wonders, but I don't really like Seven
Wonders.
You
don't like Seven Wonders, but I don't... I would say Duel's... they're completely different games.
Yeah, really?
And it's so... It's a really aggressive game. Yeah. I do not like playing this with Jay. And I also don't like playing this if someone's a friendly gamer because it can be really aggressive. And you've got to go for it. Where people online, I couldn't care less about. So I'm going for the throat, straight to war.
Warning anyone, if you see Matt's hashtag or his gamer tag come up, just don't play him.
So I think that is my most played game, but I'm going to go for my physical, what I've played the most, and that is Dune Imperium. We played Dune Imperium whenever we could.
Yeah.
Like, Jake would bring it to the table pretty much every time that we went
around.
I love Dune Imperium, and he's kind of swayed because I love the IP so much, which can be a factor. But I also think I haven't done a definitive list for best games of all time, but it would 100% be in my top 10. I just love how tight it feels. I love the expansions. I've recently played Uprising, amazing. And I also think that the way that you can block people out, and also you can play it friendly as well. You don't have to play that blocking mechanism. But yeah, it gives you that opportunity to as well.
So I haven't played it.
You haven't played it?
No.
Oh, so, man.
So,
well, we know what we're doing after.
Yep. Yeah.
So
stop the podcast.
I saw that ages ago. Really wanted to play it. Thought it was really cool. I went to UKGE and it's the same. Is it the same publishers as Arnak or something like that? I don't know. But he basically said, "Have you got Arnak?" I said, "Yeah, I love Arnak." And he says it's quite a similar game.
Okay.
And that kind of put me off slightly because I thought I don't want to buy a same game. And I love Arnak. I think it's a great game. But at the same time, there's a reason why Dune Imperium is a lot of people's favorite game of last year or year before or whatever. And why it's such a top favourite overall in the world and beats Arnak. And I think from what I hear from everyone, they love it when they play it. So
yeah, I will say, I wouldn't say it's that different. I've only played Arnak once and I can see what he was saying about Arnak. But yeah, I think it's worth a go. It's definitely worth a go. And definitely, if you can, I would say that the edition you want to buy is the Uprising version now.
Oh,
because
really?
It kind of makes, yeah, the old one, I don't really understand why they've made this second one.
Okay.
I get it, but yeah, it kind of makes the expansions a little bit redundant. But playing with is it the Chome model? Chome? I don't know how I'm saying that. But whatever the module is, yeah, if you play with that, it's amazing.
Okay.
And I think that adds a different element to Arnak as well. So
yeah.
I'll definitely give it a go. Cool. So let's move on to the next segment. Best game that's new to your own library. So a game that you've bought in, last year now.
Mm-hmm.
Let's mix it up. Jake, do you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. Actually, this one was bought for me and it's probably still the best addition to my library. And it is Nidavellir. Do I need to say anything more? I mean, I don't know anyone that I've introduced this game to that didn't like it. And a thing that blows my mind is no matter the player count, the game is still pretty much the same length of time. I've played it with people that aren't gamers. I've played it with people that are gamers. I even got my dad playing one game of this, which is saying something. and it always goes down well. And I just think, wow, the theme's great. The artwork's done really well. The concept works. It makes you just want to play it again. Well, the game doesn't take too long. You can play it again. Just it's an addition that I do not see leaving my shelf because it just is so good. And I didn't even buy it. Someone bought it for me. So
nice.
Yeah, you know what? When you bought that round and played it, I bought that the same day.
You did?
It was that good. Yeah, honestly, I played it. And I think it's what you said about I struggle with games with my family and stuff sometimes. And I thought, you know what? This is such an easy game to get on board. You can play it anytime. And it also, it's not one of them games where it's like, oh, that's just for the family. It can actually be for gamers as well. And I think that's a really good element.
I played it for the first time at yours. That's been a game on my buy list for years. I'd say since when it came out, I think I watched a video on it. But then other games just kept going up the list and pushing that down a little bit. And I've always wanted to play it. I think that was the first time I played at yours. And yeah, great game. I agree with you both on that. And I just want to say for the camera, I think I won the last game. So yeah. Rebadge. Just every episode we're going to have a rebadge on a game.
So my game that I've added to my library this year that's been one of my favourites is right behind you, and it's Sky Team.
Oh yeah.
I love Sky Team. I think it's such a good co-op game. I've never played anything like it. That's probably the reason I added it, in all honesty. So a lot of the games, you can kind of see the elements shifting from one another, but that was something entirely different. And me and one of my friends, we were playing it for hours and just going. So you start off with a module and it's like the default package. And also, it's great how the game is even boxed. So you open it up and its initial covering is just like, you're going to need these pieces to finish this module. I can't remember what the flight is, but you complete that flight by taking dice and putting it into certain areas to, I don't know, shift the flight of the plane, set its speed. And I think there's one other that's required as well. But you can also take like coffee to change the strength of the dice.
Oh, really?
And it's quite funny because I don't know if this fits with the theme great, but we was like in panic mode trying to shift it. And we was there just taking coffees all the time. So I don't know how that works thematically. But yeah, in terms of a game, I think it's such good fun. And it adds, once you've completed the module, it then goes, okay, now open the rest of the box. Mm. And you get a section to fly to all these other different places that have different difficulties.
Oh, nice.
And it adds some crazy features. So there's one where you have to like,
have an intern.
So you have to teach them as the flight's,
You have to make them do some stuff.
Where it adds like roller dice and it adds planes that are coming up. Mm-hmm. There's icy conditions.
There's one where you got to go around mountains, so you got to make sure the plane is at a certain tilt at each part of the of the game as you
That's
go through
really
the stage.
Cool.
Yeah, I really enjoyed this game. I think it's something you can throw to people that have been in the gaming industry for ages. Mm. And I also think it's something that you can show to someone who's just played a few games. So I think that would be the game that that's been added to my library that, yeah. Right, over to you, Tim.
So I have two games, but...
I had a feeling this was going to happen.
No, I've got two games, but it's actually the West Kingdom series, really.
Oh, yeah.
So I bought Architects at UKGE. It's been a game that I've wanted to play again for some time. Just never got around to it. I saw it at UKGE, a good price, thought I'll just get it now. I didn't play it till actually about a month ago. Someone I know came over and we had a game of it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely loved it. Thought it was great. Oh, actually, no, there was four of us the first time. That was great. Loved it. Cool worker placement game. Really simple. You get resources. But it's got this cool virtuous track that is like how moral you are and things like that. And that affects your score and what you can do and what actions you can take. Pretty cool. As soon as played Architects, I knew that Paladins was like the favourite of the West Kingdom series by a lot of people. It was definitely another game that I wanted to play. So as soon as played Architects, I was like, I've got to get Paladins now. Yeah. So I bought Paladins, same four people, got them over to play Paladins. Absolutely brilliant game. Love it. It's just we talk about combo games. We like combo games. It is a combo game. It's a worker placement. But the difference is with Architects is a big board in the middle when you're all working on that. Paladins, you have your own player sort of board and you're doing worker placement on that. And it's really cool. It's got this really cool different how it all works, what affects different things. Brilliant. Loved it.
Nice. Would you say borrows many features from other Euro games or does it add anything new?
I guess both of them have like a... So, yeah, Euro games, there are other Euro games that have like bad effects in the game like that. But I think in this, bad effects come out if you decide to play the game that way, which I thought was quite cool. So like I say, in Architects, there's how virtuous you are. That's up to you how you want to play the game. Straight away, we decided to be criminals and just go straight for being bad, stealing from the tax stand and things like that. But then we had a kind of a bit of a running joke at the end that we just needed to get that one more virtue. So I felt a little bit more morally right than it playing next to me. So we had this kind of funny joke going through. Paladins changes it slightly. So you can get debts similar to Architects, but it's done through suspicion cards. And that's if you take these purple little meeples called criminals to help you in the game. They're like a wild card. So you kind of want them because they can act as a wild card. But they give you suspicion. And then if something happens where like an event takes place, if so much stuff happens, and if you've got the most suspicion cards, you get a debt and you have to pay that off at some point. So it's really, really clever game. So it's got this combo element to it, which I say I love. And I think that's, I actually think there should be more of this sort of stuff. I think there should be more combo games.
Nice. Like it. Cool. Moving on to our next feature. It's going to be our worst game of the year. So this one was a bit tricky. Because you know what? There's been some games where I've been really hyped for and they've slightly let me down a bit. So I thought, do I put them ones in? But they're still good games. So I thought, you know what? I'll leave them off. And I generally just went for the worst game of the year. It's Throw Burrito. Okay. And I don't know whether, because I've spoken to other people about this.
You own that game.
Yeah, I know. It's not me, it's my wife. She bought it because she thought it looked funny, basically. And we had a party coming up with like 12 people. And we thought, you know what, maybe this is something we can introduce. So we played it with everyone. And I don't know if it was just the vibe of what was going on. Like, some people didn't understand certain elements. And I know, if you're having a good time and you break this out, I thought it was going to kind of flow with the setting. And I wouldn't say that, but I've spoke to a few other people who have played this. And they said that the best way to make use of it is just to have house rules.
Mm.
So if certain cards just come out, you just grab it and throw it at someone's head or something, which makes it sound a bit more interesting. So maybe that's what I need to do the next time I play this game. But yeah, if it did not... And you know what? I didn't want to just dump on party games here. Because I do think they have their place.
Yeah.
But yeah, and to be honest, the other one that they've introduced, they've got loads now.
Yeah.
But the main one, Exploding Kittens, a lot of people really don't like that game, and they say, oh, this is a bad representation of what board gaming is. And I don't think it's that bad of a game. Don't get me wrong, it's not amazing. But yeah, I didn't feel that fit the same purpose as what that game did. And I've introduced that game to other people, and yeah, it's all right.
I think Exploding Kittens does what it needs to do. It is meant to be a game that you could teach absolutely anyone in 30 seconds or so, and you can just take it with you. It's meant to be like a new card game that you can take to anywhere. And it does do that, but to be able to do that, it's limited in many ways.
Yeah, and I think as well, like, it's all... Throw Throw Burrito, it's such an appealing game to look at.
Mm.
And when you go into these major retailers, and it's always one of the first games they show. And I wouldn't want people to go into their first... technically board game.
Yeah.
And that's going to be one of their first games, because I don't think that's a great representation of even the party game.
Do you think it's like it's just gimmicky because of that thing, and they're just trying hard to...
I think so. Don't you worry, it is quite funny. And apparently you can even get an expansion to have like taco shields, I think, as well, so you can block the burrito.
Oh right, okay.
Well, it just sounds ridiculous.
Modules, expansions.
Yeah, so
salsa next week. Yeah,
yeah. I didn't really want to put this, but I'd say for a different style of game that fits that party game, I'd recommend Just One, and I think that does a bit. You can even make that game stupid, and it will still work well.
Yeah, I agree.
It is a really good party game, though.
Yeah, so I'd say if you've thought about getting it, get Just One as a different game.
Talking about like gimmicky things, one I actually did enjoy, because I'm not actually a massive social game, like party gamer like that. I like strategy. I like chess in a board game type thing. I've got to think about my moves ahead. And so they're like completely opposite what I like. But I do like, for some reason, that Poetry for Neanderthals. And you get a blow up bat that you hit people on the head.
The irony is, when he was talking about like party games that he doesn't really like, I was thinking, yeah, like Poetry for Neanderthals.
I don't know why. I just thought that was just a little bit... I mean, back in the day, I used to love Boulder Dash, you know, like games where you can, like, I don't know.
Word games.
Yeah, do you know what? Being creative, that's what I think I quite like. That's why I like that, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a good shot. I haven't played that, so I'll have to give that a go.
Yeah, it was quite
maybe
fun.
That can be another alternative to it. But I thought, you know what? If I'm being truthful, that is probably, especially the worst experience I've had, because we had loads of people around, and I was like, oh, I want to give something that's good that they can be like, you know what, board games are decent, it just didn't fit. Maybe it was the people I was with. Maybe something else would have suited better for them. But yeah, that's my worst game of the year.
Nice.
Jake, over to you.
So these guys already know what I'm going to say here, because it was pretty commonly noted in a board game a day. We played a game called Veiled Fate, and I didn't like it. But I've had time to think about it, and I still really don't like it.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, there are reasons for that. Yes, I didn't completely listen during the teach.
That probably was a big factor, yeah.
However, since then I've thought more about the game, and that's why I know I don't like it.
Fair enough.
There was things that the game did which just isn't for me. Also, there was concept. I think this is another thing that I'm quite a thematic board gamer.
Mm-hmm.
So I get into the theme.
Yeah.
And I like that. And because of that, on the flip side, if I see a theme and I think, hey, this looks pretty cool, and then it doesn't do what I am expecting it to do, that can be frustrating.
Mm.
But that game felt like it pulled the rug out. You know, it shows all these different characters. I'm like, cool, I'm going to get like a player board and I'm going to be this character and I'm going to be... And then it's like, no, you share a character and you don't even know who you share it with. And to be fair, you're limited in what you can do because other people can move them. And I'm like, that's it. That's
that was the concept of the game.
Yeah, and I'm I'm like, that is not, that's like not just the rug from under me. I was like, that's one, I don't like the game. I didn't like its way it's going to work. It didn't, I understood the rules of the game, but I was just a bit like, I don't understand why this is fun. That was just for me.
Yeah, okay.
The artwork, they've done a really good job. In fact, I remember, because on that day, I was the one that suggested we play it, because I thought, hey, I've never...
The artwork's really nice.
I was like, Veiled Fate, I've never played that. That looks really cool.
Mm.
I'm up for playing that. And you told me the theme, and I was like, that sounds super cool. And I think that's why I've gone so opposite, because it disappointed me in so many ways.
Yeah,
that definitely. I wanted so much from that box.
Yeah, and I think when the game got on, better than it played, I will agree. I think the artwork was
The design was amazing.
Yeah, it's just like I saw the box and I wanted an experience, and after I'd finished playing it, it was nothing what I wanted, and I think it just really disappointed me, at least, because it didn't give the gaming experience I was hoping from the box.
Okay,
that's fair comment. Yeah,
that's probably why I would say for me it was personally the worst game played.
Yeah, I think for me it was a bit of a weird, because we played a few games and it was like one of the last ones, and also none of us had played it before. But I quite liked that element, and I haven't seen anything like it before, so I'd be up for giving it another go. I thought it was interesting.
Yeah. I think you hit nail on the head a little bit. I think we played a couple of we came a bit late, so we only played one heavy game, but you guys have been playing since the morning, I think.
Yeah, we'd played Scythe and
Takedo and Project Elite.
Yeah. So we came, I think, for Project Elite, and then we suggested that. I think one of the issues was I said I knew the game and I didn't really. That probably didn't help. There was a couple of rules I wasn't sure, and I just could not. I didn't find the rule book very helpful. Mm-hmm. I found it quite jarring in the way it went.
That's a frustrating thing sometimes.
Yeah. So then that was really like frustrating me a little bit. I think the teach was particularly hard. I thought as we were kind of getting into it, everyone looked a bit burnt out, and I think you said it. The concept of the game is strategic deduction, I think they call it.
Yeah.
You're supposed to be a hidden character. Nobody's supposed to know who you are, and you're trying to secretly get points. Because we played at a higher player count, it did this thing where two of you like control the same character. You're on the same team, but you actually don't know who each other are. And I actually thought that was really exciting. I thought that was such a cool concept. I actually agree with you a little bit. I don't think it was... My expectations were higher than actually playing it, and I don't know why. Maybe it was just the room, the feeling in the room at the time, that maybe it was a bit negative. But I will say, it's the same people who do Moonrakers, and I've got to say, it's one of my favourite studio publishers now. Mm. In terms of the design, the production, it was so clean, it was really well. And I thought, one of my biggest things is, our game's being a bit rehashed at the moment. Are people just copying other games but changing it? And I thought this was a really unique, different style of game, and I thought that was quite exciting.
See, this is the strange thing. I like social deduction games. I like hidden movement games. I even like the idea of it being semi-co-op. I really like
just
that.
Just didn't resonate.
But I think the thing is, if I knew that was what the game was going to be, fine. But then the game's telling me you've got this hero and you're going to do all this stuff, and then it just doesn't do. I'm like, you haven't advertised me exactly what I want, and that's already let me down. And now I know I've got to commit the next two hours or whatever to learning and playing this game that I don't want to play now.
Yeah, definitely. I'm the same as you. I'd happily give it another go. But one of the big things for me was I started thinking, am I going to get this ever to the table ever again? That sort of thing. But yeah, I'd give it another go another time. But I actually agree with you to a certain extent. I think my expectations for the game weren't quite met. Mm. And I think that's disappointed it a little bit.
Yeah, after the game, I had a quick look on YouTube. Because I wanted to see what... Because did we... I can't even remember if we finished it.
No, I don't think we did.
But the...
Someone ruined it.
But after the game, I was like, you know what rules were we missing? So I watched a YouTube video and that was clear as day. So I think if we'd maybe just took a bit of time to watch that video, which is really well produced, I think that might have just cleared it.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Cool. So Tim, what's been yours?
So mine, I don't think it's a bad game. I actually like the game. And Jake's going to throttle me when I say this, but it is actually Skull.
Oh, really?
And
really?
It's not... I actually like
the game. Worst game.
No, I'll tell you why. I like the game. We played it after... I think Luke... Did Luke get it for you from UK?
Yeah.
And we brought it back and we played it and we were killing ourselves. We're laughing. We found it so fun. We're enjoying it. Luke's dad got involved in it It was just a great session. Really loved it. And then I tried to play this with like two or three groups after that. Mm. And it just flopped. And I realised it's definitely a game that plays with certain people. And I think there's no hiding it. We're all like sort of pub goers, drinkers, which is where the game kind of evolved from.
Yeah.
And I think because we can have a laugh and we can enjoy and just be silly with things, that works. And I think when I played it with others, they've kind of just put the mat down and then they're like, okay, I'll make a bid. And it's just really flat.
Yeah.
And for me, even though, like I say, I don't think it's a bad game, but it was the worst game. Out of all the games I've played, it would have been the worst game just from you do have to pick the group that you play with.
Yeah.
I totally get that. Because I was at one of the sessions where we
played. Oh, we did, didn't we?
Yeah, we played it with a few new people. I brought it because I thought, hey, this is a nice like party game. You're new to games. I remember, and I was just thinking, how are they not getting this? How are they, like, they were struggling with the rules. Like, you put a disc down.
Yeah.
That's it. And I think it's just that they weren't invested in it.
Yeah.
They didn't have an interest in it. And I think you nailed it there, that sometimes the right time, the right game, the right people.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, you can't just bring any game to the table and it will always work. And I do get you that a game could flop like that if it's not with the right people.
Any game is like that to an extent. Yeah, but I think that game particularly, you definitely have to have the right group. And it's a little bit like poker, isn't it? You have to have a poker face. And if you're into that sort of thing, it's quite funny. But yeah, I like to say, it is a good game. I don't want to knock it for people. But I do think you have to be a certain group or a certain person to play that game.
That's a good show. I actually think it's a great game, but
maybe
that's, you are right. It's the experience that lends itself to these worst experiences. Because I've had a few games like that, especially with non-gamers, and you think, oh, do I take the level up a little bit? And I'm not saying Skull's the hardest game, but it's one of them ones, maybe a little bit similar to Veiled Fate, in that it depends on the experience as well.
Definitely.
Okay, over to our next one. It's going to be the best game played that's new to yourself. So we're not talking about spoiler for the next one, that this is going to be for the game for last year, but the best game that you played for the first time last year that may have been released in the 80s for all I know. Mm. We'll go to you, Jake.
Well, I am going to mention Dune Imperium. I was so holding back earlier because I was like, I can see it on my list. But I actually wonder if I have played it more than Unmatched. I don't know. But every chance I get, I try and get that game out. And it's just getting better and better and better. I love that game. Sometimes you've got a game, you're like, this game's good, but I just wish this was a little bit tighter or this was a bit cleaner. That game is clean, polished. I feel like that game's been playtested. And you know how I'm unbiased is that I do not know the IP. I haven't watched the movie. I haven't read the books. I don't know the IP.
Mm-hmm.
I literally just know the game. And I'm just looking at it going, this is such a clean game. It's so clean. The design works. And it's funny. I've played it so many different times now, trying different strategies. And it's fascinating how the game doesn't make you do stuff, but it does give you reasons to want to do stuff. So like sometimes you'll think, you know what? I don't think I'm going to get involved in any conflicts. I want to build up my, you know, political favor and stuff. But then you're looking over going, but if I do get involved in that conflict even a little bit, I might be benefit a little bit. So now you're thinking, maybe I should do that.
Mm.
And I love that the game isn't telling you to do it, and you won't be penalized if you don't do it, but it is making you feel curious to try different things. Mm. And I love the way, it's just me, you know, there's a few games that do it, but this one does it so well. The game ends when someone gets 10 points. And I love that. It's just such a simple concept. It's not about getting hundreds, like Nida Valir or something. It's just get to 10 points. And getting to 10 points feels like deep political work. And the deck building combined with the worker placement. Sometimes when games have too many moving parts, you can see that the gears start to grind against each other. But that game is so clean. It's like the gears are perfectly aligned.
Yeah.
So all of the mechanics do... I feel like this game, you must have just had so much playtesting. So I don't know the IP, but I will happily say that Dune Imperium is the best game I've played from last year.
Yeah, I've had so many great games of Dune. But the way that you said about like the conciseness of it, we played a game and I think I was on like eight on the points. It was, I think you was on about two, but I hadn't bothered with deck building at all. The game was so clean that penalized me in the long run, and I just couldn't get that last bit over the line. So it's like if you try and play meta and bomb a certain way, okay, you might pay off in the early game, but come the late game, yeah. It's a lot harder to get things moving.
You know what's funny? The more I play that game, the first couple of times I'm like, oh, I don't think I really need to bother with that type of card, or I don't see why they even put that in the game, or that those like conflict cards, maybe they're not that important, those intrigue cards. And the more you play it, you're like, oh, I could do so much if I had those cards now. And you're like, wow, like I've been missing out. Again, the game doesn't penalize you if you don't do it. You realize you've been missing out on a lot in the game by not using them.
Yeah.
But it's not bad to not use them, but then you want to use them next game because you want more of the game.
Yeah.
And I think that's very
I love
clean.
Games like that where they're balanced out and you have to play a balanced game. Like you say, it doesn't you can't just force into a one move and that's going to win. There's quite a few games that do that, but I think it's nice to hear that that's like that.
I was tempted to even bring it today just so we could make you play it because I know you don't play it.
You do need to play it. And you know what? I think it's even... I haven't played too many times, but with the expansions, I think it's even better.
It is a really good game. They've done themselves proud with making that game.
Cool. Over to you, Tim.
I've got two. I couldn't decide. So I'll wrap through these a little bit quick. I was introduced to a game sort of early last year called Village Rails. And it looks like, it's a small box. It looks like something you should play with like the Bowls Club at the Village or something. Do you know what I mean? The artwork's quite dainty and whatnot. But what I love about it, it took like 5 minutes to set up. It's like really simple. Probably not even that. It's like 2 minutes probably to set up. So much strategy in it. You've got to build these rails. They've got symbols, again, combo in. So you get scores for different symbols and how you match them up. And literally, you get 12 cards in the game. You've got a 4x4 grid, I think it is. And you've 4x3 grid. And you've got to put these cards to make these train tracks, basically. So you literally got 12 goes to get this most points. I just loved it. I thought it was honestly the best game. And when you said with Nida Valir that you went out and bought it, when I played it, I bought it from Amazon that night because it was like £13. It was really cheap.
Oh, nice.
Brilliant game. So that was one. I couldn't decide between that. And I also, for my anniversary, I went to Manchester and I went to Fanboy 3. Really cool game shop. And they've got a table in the middle for like sail rail type thing. And I saw Dinosaur Island Roar and Write. And I've not really played many like Roll and Write games.
Yeah.
And I just took a whim. It was like, I think it was like £20 on the sale rail. And I thought, do you know what? Let's just have a go. And I like doing that sometimes just to see what happens. And so fun. It's just a combo-y game. you have to build dinosaur parks, you have to get like money, you get threat if you build like T-Rexes and you have to secure it or people get eaten. Just a cool, fun, enjoyable game. I had to say that one as well.
Nice. If you was going to pick one, what takes the spot?
Oh. I would actually say Dinosaur Island Roll and Write. Because I'll tell you why, it introduced me to start playing a few more Roll and Writes.
Yeah.
And I've actually really got into Roll and Write games. I've got a friend who's got Railroad Inc. And we ended up like smashing game after game because they've got little modules to add to those games.
Yeah.
Depending on what colour you get, sort of thing. So we ended up playing like the base, then we played one module and then the other module, and then he was like, I've got another colour. I was like, get it out, let's do it now. We ended up playing like four or five games in one night, and it's introduced me to Roll and Write, which I'm really, that's why it would be my number one out of the two of them.
Nice. Yeah. You know what, this past year, that's the first time I've played a Roll and Write as well. And when we played Hadrian's Wall.
And that's a resource, right?
Oh, yeah. Amazing.
Yeah, I've heard it's good.
Oh, you'd like that. Yeah. If you like Dinosaur Island, you'll
I got
like
told
it.
It's like doing homework. Like you're all in silence doing...
Yeah.
It's addictive though.
I see that. I said to you the other day, like we could actually be in separate rooms and be playing this game.
Yeah, but
it wouldn't...
But it is cool though, because it's like you're in silence, but you just see hands in peripheral vision just moving and doing stuff.
Cause... That's so funny.
I can't wait
to play that.
No, I definitely want to play Dinosaur Island as well. Yeah. That sounds good.
Yeah.
Cool. So I'll go into my one. My favourite game that's new to me this year, which I can't believe I hadn't played before, is Root.
What?
Nice. I know.
My number one game.
I was like, who are you saying this in front of?
I know. Wow. And you know what? It's been one of them games. I think the weight just put me off and asymmetry of it all.
Yeah.
I like the idea, but the... Because I haven't got it. I've just played other people's. Ooh. And I've got the app and stuff. So I've been playing that. But what puts me off actually getting it is how will I get this to the table?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've been playing a bit on the app. But I'd like to be able to get the physical copy. Although the thing that put me off was that I just hadn't got anyone to play it with. So I think when I first played it, it was Luke's. And I played is it the birds? I can't remember the actual faction name of them. And I played with them.
And
I was
like,
yeah, that's it. And I was like, you know what? This isn't that hard. But there was quite a lot going on. So afterwards, I was like, that was all right. That was quite good. And then as the night went on, I was thinking, you know what? I should have done that there. Maybe I shouldn't let the Woodland Alliance in on here. And I just love them type of games where I'm just analysing afterwards.
Yeah, your gameplay after, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that is a perfect situation. And maybe it's just the perfect game for how I think.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be buying the physical game just so I can get out to other people.
Yeah, definitely.
And yeah, I have Tim's.
That is a really good point. The more people we can bring to Root, I think the better.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got to invest people.
Do you know what I'm waiting for them to do? I'm waiting on it. If Root go and make an expansion that allows it to be played like 8-player.
You can play it 5 and 6-player with the expansion.
Yeah, right. Is it the Clockwork one that plays with that?
The Clockwork's an Automa, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, Clockwork's Automa, yeah.
Oh, but maybe I need to get that.
But I mean, I'm imagining like a type of like TI style Root. You know, like a full day Root. You know, I would love it if they made something like that.
Oh, yeah.
That would be mental, like Twilight Imperium, but Root themed. I'm like, man. Root, if you're listening to this, make it.
I think, coming back to one of your comments, I think what I really like about playing the different... They feel like little mini games you're playing in a world of what's going on. And I just really like... We talk about IP. It's like they've created their own IP with this, like, and they expanded it. I actually played the Root D&D.
Mm. Yes.
Really cool. Yeah. Really, really cool. They've done a really good job, and they've expanded out to that. And I just love Root, so that appealed to me. But yeah, I agree with you that it's hard to get to the table. I worry about teaching people, because I think it's not just teaching the game, but you've got to teach then everyone what everyone does.
When you taught it, you didn't go through what everyone else was doing. No. And I think that's what kind of put me off a little bit, because say, for example, if you're playing brass, you kind of think, oh, well, they're doing X.
Yeah, you need to know a little bit.
So. Maybe I want to position, if I'm playing Root, maybe I want to put my cat here to stop them getting this easily. So that did kind of put me off a little bit. And maybe that's why I didn't bother with it before.
The first time we played it, because we didn't know what each other were really doing, I think Luke was playing it. He was playing the cats and he used the dominance card. So as soon as you get to 10 victory points, you can play a card that makes a stipulation. Yeah. So, you know, if you control each corner, like three corners, you win sort of thing. And he just won because there was, I think, whoever was playing the birds was a bit scared to push out. We didn't know really how the dynamics were going to work. And I think the third time we played it, I think he tried the same strategy with the cats. He tried to rush in. And I was playing the Woodland Alliance and I was like, no, we're not doing this again. And I was like, we're revolting and we just killed them all. And I was like, yes. Like, and then what I did find funny is it just screwed his game up because he couldn't quite get back into the game because he had this stipulation he had to win, but we were all holding him off. I thought it was really cool. I thought it was really good. I think you do need to play it a few times to understand how each faction plays for sure.
Yeah, yeah. No, I love that game. I'm definitely going to get it. And now you told me about the clockwork.
You're going to watch
that. That's an excuse.
That is funny.
Oh, man. Wait till Chase sees all the things you're going to buy.
I know. It's very tempting. Cool. So we'll move on to the next category. And that is the best game of 2023.
Okay. I'll let you go.
I'm going to break the rules. So I did say I haven't finished prepping this. So last year I didn't have much opportunity to play brand new games, just circumstantially. So there was a number of games that I finally got around to playing, and it turns out they were 2022 releases.
So this is the year in rewind.
Yes. Yeah. But I feel like it's warranted because sometimes it takes about a year before you hear of some games.
Okay.
So I only even heard of this game last year. I think everyone only heard of it last year. So it's kind of, maybe they must have released it December 31st, 2022. But it's Beast.
Interesting. Oh, yeah.
You know what?
I feel like it deserves being mentioned even though it was 2022
release.
I think
released. That is a 2023 game.
It's technically 2022.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but
I know they were big at UKGA. Exactly. That was their like big release.
You see what
wasn't
I mean? It was like, yeah, everyone only heard of it last year, so that's okay. Why I felt like it deserves to
no,
be
no,
mentioned.
I think that's a fitting 2023 game. Yeah.
But I played it twice. There are aspects of the game that I will be transparent and say, I feel like, did they release it maybe 3 to 6 months too early before playtesting? Yes. Why? Because the game is really cool. The concept is so cool.
Yeah, a lot.
You can play as this hidden monster. No one knows where you are. And there's this concept of like an upgrade system and I can upgrade my monster or you can upgrade your champions. And that's super cool. But after playing it twice, I started to realize it's really, really hard to upgrade anything.
Okay.
So that sometimes can make you feel a little despondent with like, oh, this game is so sick and I can't wait to like upgrade this monster with these crazy things, and then actually you get caught or killed or the game almost finishes before you even get to that point because it's so hard to upgrade. And I think maybe that's just like, maybe if they do another edition they might just make it a touch flow a little easier. I feel like people would want to replay it more if it felt easier to upgrade stuff.
Okay.
But it doesn't take away the fact the artwork is super cool. The concept is really cool. Your monster hunters going out hunting this monster and you're tracking it by where it eats sheep and stuff. And I love that. I think that's a super cool concept and the artwork is absolutely banging. I just wish maybe it had a little bit more playtesting. So maybe a few people could have said, it's a little bit tough to upgrade, but heck, I've only played it twice. Maybe I just suck at the game, but other than that, I mean, I've spoke to a few people and we've all kind of shared that view. So that's what I would have to say on it. But other than that, that's probably the game I would cheekily say in my rewind for 2023.
I think that's a valid inclusion.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. I saw it at UKGA. I was so tempted to buy it.
It seems like a game you would buy.
I love the concept. The only reason I did a trade on Facebook before. No, it wasn't a trade. I bought a game and I met him at UKG to do the handoff, which was Mind Management, which is the same hidden movement type game. And I was like, I'm not going to buy a second hidden, big box hidden movement game when I've just bought that. I was kind of, the one thing that put me off buying it is on the stand they had all these cool plastic miniatures of like the monsters and everything.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, that looks really cool. That, like, I love plastic miniatures and that sort of thing. I thought that looked really cool. And then he goes, oh, yeah, you don't get them in the box. You get these, like, cardboard stand-ups.
That is a disappointing
thing.
That
was a little bit disappointing. And then about 2 months later, I was like, I'm thinking about this Beast game again, getting it. And I watched Shut Up, Sit Down's review, and they made a few comments about it. They just kind of put it on the negative side for me. There was one where he said, as hunters, you go, oh, the beast is over there, and you all go over there, and then suddenly the beast is over there eating someone, so you have to go all the way back, and you're like, it just felt a little bit like, and you can't get over there quick enough, and they just put that just slight negative spin on it, and I was like, I won't buy it, but I do want to play it, though.
I think both times I've played it, the beast lost.
Oh, really?
I think it's really hard to play as the beast.
My management, it's hard to play the recruiter, the guy that's,
I mean, I do get what you mean with miniatures, though. I was a bit disappointed that Jamie's copy doesn't have them because they were charging extra for it. I do think if I take, for example, like Nemesis would suck without the miniatures.
Yeah.
I mean, not that a game needs plastic miniatures to be good, but when you're playing a thematic game, if we want to play a Euro, we'll play a Euro. But if you wanted to play a thematic game, what gets you into the theme? Miniatures. That's like,
think that's the only thing.
Not the only thing, but it definitely helps you engross in it.
Yeah, yeah, I agree with
that.
I think it's that gimmicky thing, but what we actually like.
Yeah,
It's like, we're like, ooh.
Like, there's nothing cooler than when I'm playing Nemesis and someone gets the queen and I get to go in the box and goes, and here's the queen, bang, and I slam it on the table. But if you get this little cardboard cutout, it's just like, that would be really anticlimactic. And it kind of has that feeling in Beast because there isn't the big miniatures. I think I would rather a game just say, this is our price, and it comes with it, rather than saying to you, like, June, this is the only problem, June did the same thing, that where they go, this is our price. Oh, and if you want all those miniatures, you got to spend this much extra. Yeah. I'd rather you just say, the game is 100 and something quid. Don't tell me the game is two lots of 50.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but don't you think that's closing the audience off a little bit for that?
I guess it makes it more accessible to sell.
Yeah, it makes it more accessible, but also then you kind of get people like me that would be let down.
So
I would rather just like save up and get the game. I don't want to have to feel like I need to buy the game twice.
Yeah, I do get that.
I agree. Like, I love that about when we're talking about Unmatched and you get the T-Rex out and he's massive.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And there's let's face it, that's like the 10-year-old version of us inside that just loves getting massive, like, monsters.
But imagine
out.
If Unmatched had little cardboard cutouts.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the same.
It wouldn't be the same, is it? Because it's a thematic game.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I get that.
Yeah.
Cool. Nice pick. Tim, over to you.
For me, there was a game at Spiel Essen that I suddenly saw loads of conversation around. I think it sold out super early, and then that got me all hyped up for it. And that was Taiwan Night Market. Been looking for it ever since. And then somebody on Facebook Marketplace, not Marketplace, one of the Facebook groups, I just saw it on his list, and I just quickly went in and said, I want that now. So I got it, and I played it. And for me, it's like, I can see the hype. It was so cool. So I think for new gamers, it might not be the best. But if you've played games like Chinatown, it has that same feeling of trying to get plots of land to put your stalls on so you can sell to customers. And you've got to try and make money, the person with the most money. I did used to have Chinatown. The only reason I don't like Chinatown, it was a great game, thought it was really fun when I first played it, I thought it was one of the best games I played that year.
Yeah.
When I got it, I very quickly worked out what a good deal was. So when it came to negotiating, you could say, Tim, I'll give you two of them for that. And I very quickly in my head, just from playing it, I could go, I won't make my money back by the end of the game. So I'm actually going to lose money on that deal.
Mm.
I don't want to. And it ruined the game for me because I wasn't doing any deals. Mm-hmm. When I first played it, I was just all over the place with it going, yeah, just give me it. I want it. I'll pay. And I think we played with Ben, who's a friend of ours, and he was hilarious with it because I think I just went, he just wanted two tiles and I just went 250,000 or whatever it was. And he just went, yeah, and just bought it. And I was dying thinking, oh, thanks, mate. I got a lot of this money. So it's fun when you started. It lost its appeal. But I think Taiwan Night Market has this replayability that Chinatown probably doesn't. Really, really good fun.
You know, I haven't tried Taiwan Night Market yet, but by your description of it, because I didn't know what even the game would be like, got very little knowledge of it, but it sounds very interesting. And actually, something you was making me think of a lot. Have you played Modern Art?
Yes.
I've heard of it, yeah, I've seen it. But
I played it for the first time recently. Super interesting concept where art doesn't have value based on what people buy, makes something worth more. So then you want to buy it. So it's just a really flexible, like the currency or what is valuable changes throughout the game. And it was kind of an interesting concept. And it sounds to me like Taiwan Night Market has a similar sort of thing.
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know until I play it. Yeah. You know, I'll probably play it by the time this comes out and I'll be thinking I'm talking a load of rubbish. But yeah, I would like to give
it a go. It's got very cutesy sort of artwork and it's quite funny and playful with it, which is quite cool. But yeah, it's just it, and I guess I'll go back to something I said earlier about some of the games being a bit rehashed and finding games that bring something a bit new to board gaming. I think that is a game that's just brought a different element to it that I've not seen maybe in other games. Other people might disagree with me, but I thought it did bring a different element that I quite enjoyed and I thought it was quite refreshing to see. So yeah, definitely pick that for my 2023.
Nice.
What about you, Matt?
Good pick. So this one's going to make you laugh too. So I had one in mind. That was the one I had. I love Sky Team, but I've literally just switched it last minute. And it's a game like we played super recently. And it's Thunder Road Vendetta.
That's brilliant. It was such a good game, actually.
Yeah, it was so good. It was an amazing game. It was literally one of them ones we just tried to get out as soon as possible. I'm really disappointed because I can't get it anywhere. And there was a few others, and I will say there's games that have come out this year that I haven't been able to get our hands on. Distilled, I really want to play, and there's also
The White Castle?
White Castle, yeah. I've been dying to play that, yeah. And hopefully they're coming to reprint soon.
Yeah,
So I think them kind of games are my normal type of games. But I went into this one. It's very thematic. I think it's based on a game from I think it's 86, called Mayhem of the Asphalt. And I'd never heard of it before. It seemed a pretty popular game. And they've basically just done a whole refresh of it. And it was such a good, like, it was only the two of us that played it. But I could imagine if there was like five or six of us,
be hectic,
each slamming into each other's cars.
You're shooting each other's cars. Yeah.
You go behind, you're sending choppers in. There's like mountains that cars are flying into.
Yeah, that was
so funny. Honestly, it was such a good experience. And yeah, I can't wait to get it. And yeah.
It was great, wasn't it?
I thought it was really good. And I kind of went in. It was a bit of a weird one because we were kind of learning as we went along. And yeah, I thought it was such a good experience and definitely something I want to play more of.
What I thought was really funny about the game is when we started, you get these hazard tiles as you go along. Matt went first and he was like, I'm going to skirt around it. And I just went, I'm going to go straight into it and see what happens. And there was a wreck. So it was like, in the theme, a wreck is like a car that's been in the race but blown up. And I slammed into it. And you have to roll these dice to see what happens. It made me move forward. And then Matt was like, these are actually all right, you know. And then I did it again and I hit some mud and it made me slip. No, it was an oil slip.
Yeah, oil slip.
Made me slip. And I moved forward again and Matt was like, started then crashing into these hazards as well. We were like, hazards are so cool. And it was so exciting when we were like flipping them over going, oh, wow, that's great.
It's funny because it's like that slight risk. There was one point where my small car was flying ahead. And I was like, oh, you know what? I think I can actually get to the end here. And I was like, you know what? Let me just hit this hazard. And I was like, oh, man.
It was a mine.
And you bank it. I was right on the edge of the map. So I was banking that I had to go one way. And luckily, it was that point. But yeah, I love that risk and reward they offered as well.
I think we played it on Tabletopia.
Yeah.
And I think you said, oh, actually, I don't know. This is a game I probably would buy. And I was thinking the exact same thing as you were saying it, thinking I want this game in my collection. It was just quite a good laugh.
But here's the thing, you get miniatures in that game.
You do.
And it's a thematic game, and it's more thematic because you get miniatures.
That might be a valid point. Yeah.
The funny thing is, when I first saw it, I thought the style was a bit gimmicky. I thought they were trying to play on this Mad Max type theme.
Yeah.
I thought, is it going to be... We've talked about Heat, Pedal to the Metal.
Yeah.
Is that the right way around?
Yeah.
We talked about that and we both said it's kind of gets negative and positive reviews. We both enjoyed it. It was quite fun and different. And I thought this was going to be a very similar game, just a race. But actually, that slamming and shooting was just so funny. It was just... It added a dimension to it that I think is better than Heat for me.
Yeah, I think Heat's maybe slightly more strategical.
Yeah, probably. Changing your gear selection.
You know what? Maybe you can play Thunder Road strategical, but the way that I kind of just went for it was just, you know what, let's just slam into everything.
And doesn't that come down to it right at the heart, isn't it? Like... At the end of the day, you're playing the game for fun. So whether you get the joy and the fun experience from playing something really mind-brain burnery, or you get something from smashing cars into stuff.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, like if it's fun, it's fun.
Yeah. I definitely think that was a really good pick. I was surprised you've actually picked that. But I totally agree and I understand why you've picked that.
Yeah, I wasn't going to. I was going to go because Sky Team is definitely the game that I've got out the most this year. And I think it's been a hit every time I've played it. But in terms of what and my initial thoughts, I picked that over it. That's why I went for it. Cool.
Nice.
Well done, all.
Thanks for the rewind.
Good. I really enjoyed that.
Is there any games from 2023? I know you said White Castle.
No.
Like, any games. Have you got any game from 2023 you want to play?
Mm. Yeah, you'd like to play.
Apiary.
We played Apiary. You know what? Let's save it for when you play
Apiary. it was all right. I liked it. I look forward to another game.
It looked cool. I just didn't get a chance to get around to playing it.
Yeah, I played Earth last year. Has anyone played
that? I'm playing it from when we're recording it this weekend. Okay. So that's the first time I'm going to be playing it.
Okay. Yeah, you let me know what you think about that one, because I think it's good, but you know what, let's just wait till you've played it and have your opinion. Cool.
I am definitely, one just game that I'm particularly interested in, we've talked about it I think a couple of times ourselves, I didn't realise this game was out until recently, which is the Undaunted series.
Then
I watched this guy, he's Tabletop Turtle on YouTube, he's become one of my favourites now. He's quite funny, he's got dry humour, I quite like his little chuckle every now and then that he throws in. It's really, really good. But he does these tier systems, and one of them was Undaunted Battle of Britain. It's a little bit like Unmatched, two player. It looks really cool, and I'm definitely going to buy it, I think, even though I've not played it. I'm going to buy it, I'm going to see how it plays.
Yeah.
Cool. I really enjoyed that. It was good to get our year in review. Let us know what you think, whether you completely agree or you probably hate our opinions. What would be good is if you can leave any comments, let us know what you think your game of 2023 is, or a new game to you of last year. Yeah, we're all up for opinions, and send them over at boardgamer.world. We're on Instagram. We're also on YouTube, TikTok, and thank you for tuning in, and we'll see you on the next episode. It's my turn this week. I have the privilege. My game of the week is Terraforming Mars. I'm sure it's a game you've all heard of. It needs no introduction. It's a very gamery type of game. Collecting resources. Actually, do you collect resources?
Yeah.
I was doubting myself for a second there.
Leave that in.
We've got to so leave that in.
Yeah, and you're building up... I don't know. It's a really interesting strategy. Like, do you collect cards or do you go out and just try and terraform as soon as you can? And I also like the different factions as well that you can start to play with. And the beginner one is normally, it's not the best, but I thought it's pretty decent on the Terraforming Mars one. Mm. And I'd also recommend getting the app as well. It was a great experience.
Mm.
And I'm all for playing games physically normally, but... Mm. Sometimes the opportunities don't arise, and the Terraforming Mars app, I think I used it on Steam.
Yeah.
Really good.
Played it on Steam.
Really good, yeah.
We did that quite recently. We got it as part of the Humble Bundle deal, didn't we? So,
yes.
I think that's probably why we're talking about it now.
Yeah, I don't think it's out anymore, so you've got to see if you missed that. Yeah, I think you got Gloomhaven, Terraforming Mars.
Loads, Splendor.
Yeah, there's loads.
Carcassonne and whatnot.
Yeah. Cool.
Nice. Yeah, it's good.
So yeah, that's my game of the week.